96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Children don't come with instructions. We've all heard that before. And all parents have struggled with finding what's best for their children as they grow. But what about parents who are raising children with disabilities? They often need extra help or support, and they don't always know where to turn. Well, tonight, we're talking about being an advocate for your child who has a disability. Where do you go, and what do you do? Well, my guests are Tana Williams, Executive Director of Reagan's Voice, a child advocacy organization, and Dr. Sharifa Al-Ukta. She is an educational psychologist. If you have any questions about advocating for your child with disabilities, now is the time to give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR. Or follow me on Twitter at Daily Drum WR or H Fisher WHUR. Miss Williams, it's Jackson. Thank you so much. I just called you Miss Williams. It's Tana Jackson. So, Miss Jackson, talk to me about your story.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for having us here. The name of our organization is Reagan's Voice. We are a community-based organization that helps to support parents in their process and their journey to become advocates for their children with special needs. So our organization was designed to give parents resources as well as a sounding board to really help them advocate their children through education, as we believe in our organization that education and knowledge is power. So we want to be able to give parents their voices back and help them to understand that that one voice can bring them closer to the educational change they want to see for their children.
Talk to me about Reagan.
Yes, absolutely. It brings me joy. Reagan is our youngest daughter of three. Reagan was diagnosed at the age of 4 years old with ADHD, a language-based disorder, and she also suffers from speech and language disorder. I have 16 years of special education experience, and as her mom, it felt very difficult sometimes to navigate through the system and to help those who were educating her to really see all the wonderful things that Reagan was about and what she could do. And as a parent, I felt like at 5 years old, when the diagnosis became present to the school systems, that they were trying to silence my daughter's voice. And so hence the name from our organization came from Reagan's Voice. I felt that our voice is a gift that we're given because it gives us the opportunity to articulate what we need. And so if that voice is silent, it becomes very difficult for us to navigate because we can't hear and our voices are not projected in a way that those who make decisions for us include us. And so that's really where our foundation lies.
Dr. Al-Ukta, when you hear the term or phrase children with disabilities, it's so broad. Can you give me a working definition?
You know, I actually do not use the word children with disabilities.
Why is that?
Because I think that it already has such stigma with it.
And I get it. But for argument's sake,
yes.
Because see, when we start talking about political correctness, stigma, and all of that, then folks get confused because you may have some parents that say, well, my child does have a disability.
Your child, and so the broad picture of it is that your child has some differences from what school specifically may see as the average child that needs specific support to help them acquire the learning or the knowledge that the school is trying to inform. And so those differences, disabilities, can come in a broad spectrum. So it can be anything from hearing, anything from vision, ADHD, specific learning disabilities, intellectual disabilities, or an emotional disability. And so that is anything that falls outside of what is considered the average range of behaviors and or abilities at a given specific age.
Mm. So, and what kind of special challenges, hurdles, does that kind of situation present not only to the children, but also to the parent, particularly, you know, young parents that, you know, perhaps don't have the, you know, the kind of educational expertise and resources that, that you have?
So it definitely requires a lot more time, attention, creativity, and awareness from parents than what may be considered the average child.
I agree. I think that that is definitely something that's so paramount because, you know, not having, I always say that as a parent, you shouldn't necessarily have to have a degree in something that you're trying to help educate your children about. And I do think that it's our responsibility as those of us who are in positions to help educate parents to do that and do a better job at that so that parents can really feel like they're participants and not spectators. And I think that's where the discrepancy comes in.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about support for parents of children with disabilities. And if you have any questions about looking for support, resources, give us a call. Lines are open. Let's go to Renee calling from Upper Marlboro. Renee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. My child is in the Prince George's County school system, and she has an ADHD and emotional disability and difficulty with math. So, and what I say is usually, you know, she's a very intelligent child, but of course the way she learns and, you know, able to understand is different. So she looks perfectly fine, which I know most kids do. And what I found is that the school system has not implemented her IEP at least 3 years. And then also the resources to follow up with that have not been provided. And it got to the point where when I would go and, you know, complain about it or go to the next level within the school system, she was retaliated against.
Absolutely.
And the fact that it got to the point where they pushed her out of school and put her on home and hospital care as if she was a problem and causing problems for other students.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know how do parents get help when the child is actually retaliated against, and the parent also. I was also retaliated against. And you know, I'm still to this point, my daughter is now in high school and she's still getting the same type of treatment and not getting the resources that she needs. And I'm really concerned about her graduation.
Well, Renee, let's see if Ms. Jackson can at least attempt to address your issue, Ms. Jackson.
Renee, I totally understand exactly where you are. I always tell parents, though, that documentation is better than conversation. So as you feel like there's some sense of retaliation or that they're not implementing the things that are necessary for your daughter to receive the education that is deserved of her, I think that it's really starting with, you know, collecting all of your information so that you have, you know, some ammunition to kind of go back with. In addition to that, I think that kind of seeking out some assistance, you know, through that advocacy or other ways that someone can really help sit down with you to explain, you know, exactly what you're seeing. I think that, you know, you do have a voice. And I do believe that if it's tailored in a way that helps to awaken that which is not alive, helps you as a parent to really gain that control back. So I do think that kind of collecting all the things that you have, all of your pieces to make that argument would really help as you begin to kind of walk this journey, because it is a process.
Dr. Aukta, some thoughts?
I'm not 100% sure of the process in PG County, but you may want to see if there are actual attorneys, pro bono attorneys, who can also work as legal advocates to go in with you during IEP meetings, during meetings with the school, to sort of bolster your argument and to provide you with more of a voice as well.
Because, Renee, before I let you go, ideally, what would you like to see happen as it relates to your daughter now?
I would like I would like to see that she gets the resources that she needs so she can graduate on time. Mm-hmm. She's actually in the 11th grade right now, and she has emotional disability in addition to others that I mentioned. So when they're not providing her with the resources she needs, she feels like no one cares. She feels less than, and it becomes she deals with depression and anxiety also. So it's all internal, and then it becomes, you know, the self-esteem issue, and then to drop that ball on her that, oh, perhaps you're not going to graduate on time because you didn't finish this class. Well, she didn't finish the class or complete it properly because she didn't get the resources she needed. Mm-hmm. And I've had to go through this constantly, you know, one person after another, and I believe me, I've documented sent emails, all of that, and then it's kind of like the school system is this, you know, group of, you know, I don't want to say a gang, but what I will say is it's like the old boy network where they, you know, cover for each other. Mm-hmm. And if you don't send an email, they like to talk to you in person. Mm-hmm. But then there's no trail.
I see.
And I do follow up with that because I do realize that, okay, one person will say this, one person will say mm-hmm. that. And then when it comes to the official time to say, okay, I need this particular resource, no one seems to have the answer or wants to, you know, admit to what was said or what was done.
Okay.
So I found that to be a major problem.
I see. And as Ms. Jackson said, obviously there are some times where you may need to escalate this beyond and make a decision as to whether or not that's what you want to do because your daughter's in 11th grade. She really has only about a year and a half left in school if all things happen the way they're supposed to. So certainly some decisions that need to be made. You, by the way, Renee, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ms. Jackson, you have an event coming up in about a week or so that deals specifically with situations like Renee. Share that with us and how we can get more information about that.
Sure. So Reagan's Voice has parent blueprint workshops. And so this next one that we have coming up is on November the 12th. It's called After the Diagnosis. Dr. Kendra Wiley-Pugh will be our guest speaker. She's a clinical psychologist that will really be unpacking what it looks like for your child and their various disabilities and how you as a parent can fully understand that so that you have some leverage when going in to help support your children. So this workshop, if you wanted some additional information or would like to register, you can do so at our website at reagansvoice.org, and that's reagansvoice.org. You can find all the information there and regards to the date and the time and some other important information. I also just wanted to mention really quick that a lot of our parents go through this process of not even having the diagnosis. So our organization is giving away a free comprehensive psychological evaluation. So for those parents who have questions about what are they really diagnosed with, this event will really help you to get there, and that free comprehensive will help that as well.
Well, thank you so much, Ms. Jackson. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, including what a psychological diagnosis entails. But we're also going to talk to Robert calling from Maryland and Terry calling from Baltimore. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation about supporting parents who are raising children with disabilities in just a bit. Stay with us.